I'll just get up here and just introduce the rest of the service here. It's gonna be a little bit different than normal. Caitlin, as said, is gonna share her time in Cambodia, and we're looking forward to that time. It's more than just a story. In some ways, we look at this all as just a story of what she did, but really, it's a story of what she experienced, but also what she experienced with Jesus, what God did, and it's God building his kingdom there in Cambodia and that water program. So don't just simply take it as a story. Take it as what does God want you to learn through this experience in her life. And then we're going to, after she's done, we're going to have a time of blessing, which we're going to open up to you all. If you have a blessing for Virgil and Tara, they're moving here real soon and moving far enough away that we probably won't see them very often, and we'll miss you guys. But so be thinking about that too, and then we'll have a special prayer for them. I just was thinking, as I was thinking about Caitlin sharing her time in Cambodia and also Virgil's leaving, the verse out of Acts 1, it was a great commission. And the disciples just before that was asking Jesus, when are you going to go and just change this whole economy that we're in and overthrow the Romans and this and that? And Jesus said, stop. You're totally distracted of what I'm here for. He said, I'm here for something greater than this. He said, don't be being distracted by that. He said, but you're going to receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you'll be witnesses of me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Let's not be distracted today in our lives. Let's not be distracted by earthly things around us. But that was the purpose of the water program. That, I believe, is the purpose for even Virgil's moving on, that God is wanting to build his kingdom beyond just right here. He didn't call us, so we got to keep working here to stay focused on building his kingdom here. But Caitlin got to experience Cambodia. That's halfway around the world. I'd never been that far away. But even just to the way south in Mississippi, God is wanting to build his kingdom there. So let's not be distracted by earthly things, but how are you wanting to build your kingdom? So Caitlin, I'll turn it over to you here if you want to get that set up. And we'll move into this part of it. Just see what God has to show to us through her experience there in Cambodia. Where's that? That thing there, turn that on.
All right, good morning, you all. I am a little nervous to do this. I've never really done a slideshow thing before, but I guess we'll see how it goes. Going into water, I was very nervous about it. Water looked like a huge mountain that I had to try go over, and I was regretting my choice to sign up. Looking back now, I know the spiritual warfare, and it's something I realized coming out of it, that the more the struggle is going into something, the more rewarding it is coming out of it. The first week was what I was dreading the most about, because of all the team building things that I heard that they do and stuff. But coming out of that week, I found a new appreciation for team building, things that I never had. I don't know if that's because I started feeling the meaning behind them more or what it was, but that week was one of my favorite weeks. I feel like I learned a different meaning on how to trust God more and how to be more trusting of those around me. So we left for Cambodia July 1st, and then we landed July 3rd. We had almost a 6-hour flight to San Francisco, and a 12-hour and a 40-minute flight to Taiwan, and then a 3.5-hour flight to Phnom Penh, Cambodia. So in Taiwan, we knew we had a long layover there. It was almost 9 hours, and so we, going into it, we thought we'd like to try to get out of the airport a little bit, and so we did leave, and we took a taxi to the beach. The taxi dropped us off and said that they couldn't pick us up for some reason. I'm not sure why, but anyway. So we hung out on the beach a while, and then we started walking back, and we ran across some men who were picking up trash. And we went up and asked if they knew where to get a taxi back to the airport. I mean, of course, they didn't speak English, but I think we tried some Google Translate or something like that. I don't know. Some of the others were working with them trying to get it across what we needed. One of them offered to help us, and he tried making some different calls and stuff and to get us a taxi. And yeah, then his friend came over, and he offered to take us to the airport. So we loaded up into his van, and he took us to the airport. We tried paying him something, but neither of them would take anything, so I guess it was an angel. Then we had our last flight, and then over there, that's the exchange rate for the money in Cambodia. They don't have any coins, so it's all dollars or whatever, real is what they call it. And then here, that's how long it took us traveling to Cambodia from when we left SMBI to when we landed. So this is a slide of the killing fields. The first Saturday we were there, we went and visited some places where the Cambodian genocide happened. It was led by Pol Pot, or whatever his name is, and the ruling Communist Party in Cambodia. It happened from 1975 to 1979. They led with a highly secretive and centralized leadership, and 1.5 to 2 million people died, nearly 25% of Cambodia's population at the time. They killed and tortured people in the most terrible ways. Kind of like the Holocaust a little bit. It's pretty eye-opening just to see like the background of where the Cambodians came out of and stuff. The killing fields, they found mass graves of people buried there. And Tuol Sleng was a school. It used to be a school, and they turned it into a prison and stuff for it all. So while we were there, we got to visit some really small like villages and stuff, and definitely, yeah, they were lower class than where we were staying. Every Tuesday morning, we went and visited what we called the lice village, because we went and we washed hair and, yeah, I did lice treatment on some of the children. For that village, most of it, their jobs was like garbage collecting and stuff like that, so not really high paying at all. The parents worked, and so the older kids were in charge, or the grandma took care of the younger kids. We walked around the village a little bit, and there was one girl, she was basically skin and bones. She was handicapped in some way or another. Her parents didn't really want her, but her grandma stepped in and was willing to take care of her. There were two other boys that Stacy, the missionary wife or whatever, she took them back home after we washed her hair and stuff like that. And their grandma asked if Stacy would just want to take them. Like, they didn't want them anymore. So, yeah, we washed hair and played games with them. They were just very starving for love and very energetic and just want to be held and picked up. And, yeah. Then another village we took turns going to every Thursday afternoon. It was like the Salt Village or whatever. They had like a Bible class with the kids and devotional with the older ladies. And yeah, then we came along to play games with the children and stuff like that. So The second Saturday we were there, we had the privilege of going to Silk Island, and we got to watch how they make different like silk and stuff like that. Yeah, they raise the worms there, I guess, and the worms make cocoons, and they cook the cocoons and get the string from it, and then they dye it and weave it into cloth. Yeah, I don't remember all the different facts about it, but it was definitely pretty insane, the process that goes into making it. Yeah, I guess they like to eat the silkworms or something. I don't know, but one of the ladies offered us a silkworm, and yeah, of course we turned that down. So yeah, we had to take a ferry across to get to the island, and then yeah, we walked around them. The evening after we visited Silk Island, then we went on a boat and ate supper on the boat and stuff like that. And that was a pretty fun experience, just being on the river and then seeing all the lights and stuff on the river. And then after the boat ride, we went on Walk Street. They like shut the whole street down from vehicles and stuff, so it's just a whole bunch of people just walking up and down, and they have different stands and stuff like that. Yeah, there was like concerts set up, and I don't know what all they were doing, but yeah, it's pretty crazy, and it's crazy amount of people, how many people there. And teaching English, that was what we did the last 2 weeks we were there. First couple of days, we just sat in and just kind of got a taste of how they do things there. And then us girls, we taught, like, we paired us up, and we taught classes, and then DeAndre, he was the only guy in our group, so he taught by himself. But we taught an hour in the morning and around an hour in the afternoon and evening then. On Wednesday, we had Bible classes in the morning and afternoon, and we were in charge of doing the craft with that. Yeah, they sing songs and tell a Bible story, and then we would do the craft. Yeah, one thing that really impressed us about the Cambodian culture was the respect that they had for authority. It was, yeah, definitely more respect than I do. I know I have for people that are older than me. Something definitely encouraged me to work on more. One thing they do for respect is they take off their shoes before going into the building. Yeah, and I'm trying to think what else. So this was our afternoon class, I think, and then this was our morning class. Definitely high energy. Definitely started to show their colors more as they got more comfortable with us. Yeah, in different ways they show respect is just how they greet their teachers and how they say bye to their teachers and stuff like that. So I'm gonna show a video of how they do that. It made us laugh every time. They're not sound.
Good afternoon, students.
Good afternoon, teacher.
How are you?
And then, yeah, I have a video of them singing in Bible class then. Then one Saturday, us girls had the privilege of visiting Daughters of Cambodia, and it helps. Basically, their mission is helping get girls out of the brothels or KTVs and giving them a job and just helping them and counseling them and helping them walk through what they went through. There was a certain street or whatever that they called the red light zone, and they warned us kind of like just stay off that street at nighttime. Yeah, because there was this line with KTVs. If you drove through it and stuff, you could just see a lot of them. Girls were sitting outside and stuff. It was pretty sad. So the girls are sold or they're tricked into working for the brothels. And yeah, if a girl knows English, it decreases their chance of being sold into brothels by 60%. So that's one reason why they have the English school over there, just to hopefully lower that rate. And then Peony is a girl there. She's 16 years old, and her family doesn't want her anymore, and she's living with her aunt. But her aunt doesn't really want her either. She works almost every day of the week at the sewing factory. Peony is that girl right there. And, yeah, the missionary lady there, whatever, she said that she has a pretty high chance of ending up in the brothels. But, yeah, she's really praying that she finds Jesus and that does not happen. So, yeah, I guess if you think of it, you can pray for her. And another day we had the privilege of visiting a Buddhist temple. That was a pretty interesting experience. Yeah, there's a lot of fear over in Cambodia because Buddhism is like the main religion there. They tie like red pieces of cloth to their cars or their hassaps or even their arms just to help keep away the bad spirits or something like that, I guess. Yeah, there's some Buddhist priests walking. And then that's the spirit house. Those ranged in many different sizes. Some were very huge and some were smaller. I don't know if it's the bigger they are, the more they think it'll press the spirits. I'm not exactly sure on all that. I took a video in the temple. So kind of interesting. And while we were there, a war broke out between Cambodia and Thailand. They were fighting over some kind of piece of land that had some kind of special old temple on or something. It's something they've been fighting over for years, but it actually broke out into a war then. But thankfully, they came to an agreement of ceasefire while we were over there. And yeah, I think it was Tuesday night before we left, we had the privilege of helping pack clothes for the refugees. People had to leave their homes because of the war and stuff along the border, so they have a whole system set up for packing clothes. They, it was in a park somewhere. They laid a tarp down and just everyone sat in circles and sorted the clothes out, and people were dropping clothes off while we were there, and then, yeah, they loaded them into big trucks like that then. We tried lots of different kinds of food while we were there. Most of it was pretty delicious. I enjoyed most of it. This food right here, it's not chicken. It is fruit, you know, durian. And it was, I think, the fruit that was in season or something while we were there. Yeah, it was kind of interesting. It was kind of like stringy, a little bit stringy and slimy, a little bit in the middle of it. But we kept some in our fridge a little bit, and it started to stink really bad. And it is known to stink pretty bad, so... I don't know. It was all right, but not one of my favorites, definitely. Then this is pork and rice. We had that a couple times in the morning. It was just pork and rice and then some eggs or something on it. Tried some Vietnamese food. That was really good. And cricket. We tried that. It was, yeah. You could think, if you thought it was bacon, it wasn't bad. And then... that up there is half-developed duck egg. Yeah, I guess they cook it and they enjoy it. I don't know. It was all right, but not sure if I'd eat it again. And here are some of the people I got to meet while going on water. That's Dewey and Stacy and their family. They're basically the only missionary family over there, so yeah, I think they get a little bit lonely. I think we basically went just to be company for them. And then with Jibby and Steve. Steve was one of the English teachers there. Then Jibby, he was our field director, and he told us that he gives flowers to like the different English teachers and stuff just as a gift for them for teaching. And he's like told us no one ever gave him flowers, so we gave him flowers as like a going away gift. Jibby is one of those people. Once you meet him, you will not forget him. So, and then at the last place we stayed, there was a fair amount of children along that street. And when we were leaving our house or walking back to our house, they would come running to us and want hugs and fist bumps and play hand games and different things like that. Wanted lots of attention. And here's us with some more of the English teachers. And yeah, and then that was the group I got to go with. Became basically like family almost while we were there. And when we first got there, Jibby told us that we could pick a place like farther away that we'd go for like a trip or something like that. We could go visit either some old temples or the beach. And we picked the beach. Some went snorkeling, and then we went to an island, and the boat captain made us lunch there or dinner or whatever. And that's the boat we rode on and stuff. And had a pretty sunset coming home then. Just some more pictures. Stopped at a coffee shop, Brown's Cafe. It was pretty fancy coffee shops. They had, each one was just, it had different unique design and stuff in it. And then traveling home, we left on the 30th and made it back to SMBI on the 31st. And since we crossed the international dateline, time-wise, we landed in California before we left Taiwan, which is kind of confusing to explain, but yeah, that's what happened. And then just some random pictures and stuff. When an electric line or something breaks, they don't take down the old one, they just add a new one, so it gets pretty congested looking with the electric wires and stuff. And then the showers over there, they don't really have like a separate spot for the shower. Everything is just one room. So when you shower, everything gets wet, the toilet and everything. So yeah, it was definitely one thing we were ready to get back for, that we could have a nice dry place to put our clothes and stuff. Yeah, we got to go ride a ride at some kind of fair or carnival thing one day. Took many rides in different vehicles like that, pass outs and tuk-tuks. Trying to think what else. Yeah. So some things I learned coming out of water is that sometimes less is more. Also to find joy in just the small mundane things of life. It's so easy to get bored of the mundane routines and feel like I'm not doing really anything important and kind of feel unfulfilled. But something someone said before we left for Cambodia was that being a missionary is living your normal life, but with the view of how can I share Jesus to those around me. We are all called to be missionaries in some way or another. It can be easy to look at missionaries and think they're some special people, but they're not. They're just normal people living their normal lives. Like Jibby, our field director over in Cambodia, said, either you're on the mission field or you are the mission field. Thank you all for praying for me while I was gone, and the different messages you all sent, it meant a lot. If you all have any questions that I can answer, I may at least try to answer anyway.
Alrighty, thanks Caitlin for doing that. I know it's a little bit out of your zone to stand up front here in front of everybody, but it was enjoyable. And just to hear how God is working in every part of the world. Sometimes when we just live here every day and we do our activities, we almost kind of think this is the world right here. I mean, to go and when you leave a place and get back to where you're going and it's an hour before you actually left, that's pretty far away, I guess. I mean, the time changed like that. So it took us a while as a family to wrap our minds around that to see how, think about how that actually worked. But that's just the greatness of our God and His world that He created us to live in. Anyway, so now, yeah, it's just a time to just for a few moments here. I was trying to think, Virgil and Tara, how long have you actually been kind of coming here pretty regularly? Has it been a year? Okay, that's what was kind of running my mind, but yet time goes by so fast, it didn't seem like you were here that long, but I guess that means we had an enjoyable time having you worship with us and just interact with us. And yeah, so we just want to just be able to bless you all, you know, just seeing how you're wanting to fulfill God's will and sensing Him asking you all to move to a different location. And I know for me, just reflecting on your lives, this verse jumped out at me. It's out of Exodus, and it just, if you want to even just turn there, you can, but in Exodus 33, I'm going to read it in NLT, verses 15 through 18, and this is just kind of what you want to be my blessing for you all. It says, then Moses said, well, verse 14 says, the Lord replied, I will personally go with you, Moses, and I will give you rest. Everything will be fine for you. Then Moses said, if you don't personally go with us, don't make us leave this place. How will anyone know that you look favorably on me and your people, if you don't go for us? For your presence among us sets your people and me apart from all other people of the earth. Then the Lord replied to Moses, I will indeed do what you ask, for I look favorably on you and I know you by name. And I thought about those verses and the power in God's presence. So often I look at things and I want to succeed. I want progress. I want to be moving forward. And sometimes I'm like, God, are you going with me? What do we want most? What do we want most, success or presence? And that's my blessing for you, Virgil and Tara, that God will go with you. I hear that in your heart's cry as just interacting with you both, that you want to be in God's will and you want God's presence in your life. And I just bless that presence and I pray that that presence will become greater in your life as you move into this next phase that God is calling you to. And I believe that will happen. I really do. Because that's your heart's desire. And you'll keep pursuing that. God's presence where you go. It's powerful. So I like to just open up to the congregation. If you have a word of blessing you'd just like to speak, feel free to do that for them, and then when that's done, we'll just ask them both to come up, and maybe two men and two ladies can come up and pray over them then.